It was pretty straightforward. Cold until mid-April, so it was kind of a bit of a later start. Everything got compressed into the end of April to get going, but it was drier than normal with lower rainfall. So we seeded through areas that we haven't seeded through for probably 10 years, even more. Moisture wasn't bad. These winds have been a challenge. But overall, pretty good spring to seed. We had a couple of nice rains, showers, so that helped. But overall, yeah, it was good seeding conditions.
So what kind of acreage are you managing and what's your crop mix?
Acre-wise, we're a little over 4,000 acres, I guess. Probably the large majority is forage and perennial forage. Cropland, we'll seed about 1,000 acres a year, some organic. Lots of the crops we seed are dual purpose, so they can be used for feed for the cattle, or else they can be combined for grain. So we do intercropping, cover cropping, and then again the perennial forage.
So I want to ask you about the cattle, but as far as so those seeded crops, are they now up?
Most of them, the last forage we seeded is just poking out. So, yeah, there was enough moisture to get everything going. So we're looking forward to the rain that will be coming here at some point.
We hope. So the livestock operation then integrate that with the grain side.
Yeah, so we try and
So first of all, you're running how many head? You're cow calf, right?
cow calf, and then we run some yearlings. So we have about 530 cows. We kept some yearlings, basically replacement heifers. So there's about 150 yearlings. And yeah, we typically run yearlings or else sell calves into the grass market in March. And most of the crops we grow, like I say, are dual purpose. So eventually the cows are going to get something out of those crops, even if we combine them. They're going to have refuse, chaff, and straw to eat. We bunch that into piles and graze it in the winter, whether it's oats and peas or some kind of cereal mix or whatever the case. But yeah, again, we try and be resilient by having the dual purpose crops.
So, what are your pastures like right now?
They're all right. They're a little slow growing. It was a little cool, so a little bit of a cool start. We did have a couple nice showers, like half an inch here and there, so that helped. And there is moisture. We do lots of planned grazing, so we move cows quite a bit. And by doing that, we try and keep the grass growing ahead of us and behind us.
So, well, you said you are partly conventional, partly organic. You want to elaborate on that a bit?
We're just trying organic farming. We're trying to do kind of a no or minimal till organic. We focus on a lot of soil health on our farm. So we try and minimize tillage. So we're trying to use forage, crop rotation, cattle to do that for our organic grain production. So we'll see how that goes. We're just had a couple of organic crops, and then some conventional as well.
So as far as the livestock, then do your fields get the manure?
Yeah, and we don't have really anything in confinement as far as cattle. So the cattle are always on the land, so they're working to spread that manure on their own. We do minimal manure spreading.
When you mentioned you do chaff bunching and so forth, just out of interest, what do you use? What's the equipment you use?
It's just a simple kind of a almost like a pitchfork, a big pitchfork behind the combine that collects the chaff, and when it gets enough weight on it, it just drops down, and you keep driving with the combine, and it slides off, and you have a pile of chaff that the cows can find under the snow in the winter. Then we supplement them with grain or screening pellets, but we just limit graze them. About every 3 days, we'll move them onto new piles, and by doing that, we get our manure on the land, we get nutrient cycling, and it decreases the cost to winter our cows.
I'm trying to envision this device. I'll have to get you to maybe show it to me. Was this something that you invented or put together? How did that come about? I've never seen that.
Yeah, no, the first I saw it was a neighbor was using one. And so it's been around for a while. Yeah. We just caught
it. Well, so have I, but I've not seen it.
Haven't been around that long, I guess. But no, it's very simple. And yeah, it doesn't cost anything to operate. Yeah. And it saves us baling and a whole bunch of work, and the cows do very well on it. So,
yeah. So we're sitting around the table here with Lynn, your wife, and puppy dog, and your kids. To tell me about your family life.
So we have three kids: Rebecca, Evan, and Caroline, 17, 15, and 13. I won't tell you Lynn's age; can't remember.
And I wouldn't be able to guess.
So yeah, we homeschool the kids. Kids are very active in the farm, do lots with the cattle and drive some equipment on the grain farm side. And my wife Lynn as well helps look after some of the cows and whatever. So it's a nice life to have everyone involved. As and the name of our farm is Richards Family Farm and Livestock Limited. So, right.
And so. You mentioned coming back to the farm. We've talked about this before, but what's your backstory? You came back to the farm from what?
Yeah, I left the farm when I was 17 and went to university and became a pharmacist. I was gone for 15 years and came back with Lynn as newlyweds and decided if there was going to be a future in farming for us. And we decided that there was. So we were.
Now you said
there.
We. Did she agree? She's nodding.
yeah. She's agreed. Hopefully that hasn't changed. But yeah, we've been here 20 years now. So came back to the family farm.
Right. So I couldn't complete an interview these days without asking you about dealing with the COVID issue and so forth. You're already homeschooling. Your family is here. What's changed, if anything?
Not much. We're very blessed that, you know, life has continued on quite similar to what it was before. You know, just little differences, just going to town and whatever else, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the pace is slowed in the off-farm activities, but on the farm, it's still the same as it was before.
Kids, anything you want to add?
They miss their friends, I think.
So oh, yeah, okay, that's a good point.
That's the biggest part of it, but otherwise, no, we're thankful that...
Lynn, I forget, are you also a pharmacist?
No, I'm a nurse. Was a nurse.
Nurse, okay. Where was home to you?
I grew up in Alabama, actually.
In Alabama? Mm. So. All right.
Now the interview
changes. Yeah. So tell me about a young woman from Alabama marrying a farmer in Saskatchewan or meeting.
Yes. Well, I actually left Alabama and headed off to Kenya. And I went there as a missionary nurse, and honestly, I thought I'd be there the rest of my life. A few months after I was there, I met Gary as a pharmacist, and when I realized that, oh, he's from Saskatchewan, I initially kind of just thought, well, I look the other way because I'm not moving to Saskatchewan. But our relationship grew, and we ended up, after about a year, we got married, and indeed, I did move to Saskatchewan, and it's certainly a lot different than Alabama, climate-wise and living in a rural area. But, you know, it is, it's been a wonderful place to live and to raise a family, and I certainly wouldn't go back, that's for sure.
So, by the way, where in Alabama?
In Montgomery.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you still have family there?
I do, yes.
Yeah. So do they come up here to the wilds and visit?
When the weather is warm, yes. Yes.